trying to find missing links like the men we used to be and are we supposed to think? Mystery, maybe not. It's getting hot, we better configure the plot. But I hold a pen with the grip so tight that I squeeze the ink down in the page and write a song for the people. Came up from the underground, now I ride above on a hovercraft sound. This microphone like an amphetamine, keeping me clean, speaking in dreams so nature can intervene. It's all received.
I tried it, I couldn't fight it. Now I just wanna get back to me. Oh, baby. Ooh, ooh. Back into the man I used to be.
Tried everything, leaving my body to watching the birds sing for hours, so I can feel heavenly powers. I've been across the universe and inside of flowers, but what is it worth? I'm still just a man on the earth, where rappers are acting like Mantan. Can I be candid? I can't stand it. Rap bandits got Kevin acting frantic. I wanna swing my sword, decapitate. But what is a man if he acts like an ape? So I sit back, planning my great escape. Load up my EPS and peruse my record crate. The man I used to be, I can only see by looking beyond me. So what is reality? I don't know.
I tried it, I couldn't fight it. Now I just wanna get back to me. Oh, baby. Ooh, ooh. Back into the man I used to be.
Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
And that's right, folks, the revolution will not be televised. But it will be here on the radio on CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. We're listening to Rude Awakening here on Monday, January 17th, 2011. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ Mondays and Thursdays. And today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So I just thought I'd start off with a clip from allhiphop.com, who basically said, you haven't heard Martin like this. And it's like, well, exactly. because every once in a while, you know, a really nice, peaceful, chilled out guy has just got his snap about what's going on. And based on what's happening in 1963, when Martin had his I Have a Dream speech, you can extrapolate 50 years later to 2011 and say, do we have a dream?
There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures.
Will we see that dream on TV?
There will be no pictures of.
Will the revolution be televised?
With a brand new process.
Or will it be something that we have to take care of?
Of Roy Wilkins.
Offline.
In a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Jerksuit will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised.
That's right, this is the revolution here in PDI. It is the InfoWar Revolution. And I was just listening to naturopath, natural health doctor Joel Wallach on the Alex Jones Show coming up here. And I was blown away by what he was talking about. He was talking about all sorts of craziness. He was talking about the idea that the average life expectancy for doctors and dentists and many healthcare professionals is 56 in the United States. 56. They die at 56 from orthodox medical care and what they believe in. And you heard Martin Luther King talk about neurolinguistic programming there, the use of the term black to define bad things and white to define good things in the general use of the language. We are all programmed like that. It's only these doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals and everybody, you know, in their own pyramid, in the giant compartmentalized pyramid structure, in the quote-unquote system of globalization that we're in. Everybody has things they want to believe in so desperately bad because we identify with those things. We want to be those people, and so we base our identity on how much faith we invest in them. And this could be doctors to the head of the medical board. Maybe you're a doctor making $100,000 a year, and you want to eventually make $1.5 million as the head of Mount Sinai or in charge of the UHN, the Universal Health Networks, you know, here in Toronto. And so you look up to those people, and you want to get there, and you don't want to challenge that type of belief system. And so, you know, it's important for us to figure out what to do about that, and for us to understand that it's difficult for people in their own professions to try and take action on these issues. But there are whistleblowers out there, and there are people out there that can explain what's happening, and there are people out there, regardless of what you do, who can take care of something for somebody else. But before I go on, I'm going to play a little clip from Chris Hedges from Media Sanctuary. He's a former New York Times war correspondent on the attack on humanities and thinking in schools.
Well, the attack on the humanities is intimately connected with the rise of the corporate state, because the corporate forces look at the humanities, and correctly so, as subversive. If you grapple with the humanities, then what you are doing is asking questions and challenging cultural, political assumptions and structures. That's why they put Socrates to death. And what the corporate state wants is vocational training for drones. And that's what they're getting in the for-profit universities. They've abolished the classics department, the Italian department, the French department, right? The German
and theater.
Department. And theater.
Theater and French.
Well, look, you can't be a complete human being if you don't understand those non-rational forces that make us human. All of those things that can't be measured empirically. Love, grief, the struggle with our own mortality, the search for meaning. I mean, Freud said, I can write about sex, but I can't write about love. It's a mystery.
Ad hoc and ad lib.
And that's right. It is a mystery out there. And so many people are obsessed with the idea of sex in our culture. And there's nothing wrong with sex, and I got to say that. You got to do all the Communist Canada caveats here. But if you look at the people and who they identify with, you can see that it is difficult for people out there, especially young women, young men out there who are looking at characters on the Jersey Shore and characters in the music videos, to understand exactly how dangerous it is for them to identify with corporate cartoons, because they may not achieve that level of success, but they may warp their values by looking at people that do nothing but say stupid stuff or act fun or silly or demean each other, as is often the style today. Since the Ashton Kutcher show Punk'd, you've seen sort of a trend towards treating each other like pricks. So we need to have a bit more free will to understand that. And just to shatter the Hollywood illusion for a second here on this morning, January 17th, 2010, or 2011, excuse me, as we head towards 2012, I want to break out a little clip of Dave Chappelle on Inside the Actors Studio. Because ultimately, this is going to take us breaking down the game to each other in ways that we can digest on the street ASAP.
What is happening in Hollywood that a guy that tough will be on the street waving a gun, screaming, they are trying to kill me?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is Dave Chappelle going to Africa? Why does Mariah Carey make a $100 million deal and take clothes off on TRL? Is it a weak person cannot get to sit here and talk to you? Ain't no weak people talking to you. So what is happening in Hollywood? Nobody knows. The worst thing to call somebody is crazy, is dismissive. I don't understand this person, so they're crazy. That's bullshit. These people are not crazy. They're strong people. Maybe the environment is a little sick.
Now, if I was dumb and I was ignorant is bliss, ignorance is bliss. Now, if I was dumb, it'd be cool, it wouldn't be my fault. But it's my fault because I'm smarter than that. I do have another way I can say this. It doesn't mean that I don't feel that way no more. It just means that let me be as smart as them or smarter. We just got to be smarter and sharper, or they're going to start taking away each and every person that steps forward to do anything positive for the community. So that's why you'd be wondering why everybody want to live a negative lifestyle. It's safe.
You're maintaining your innocence.
I'm maintaining my innocence. Because I'm loud. I didn't shut up. But I didn't think they was going to take it too serious. Me keep talking out, I didn't think it was going to be a matter of life and death.
Provided that they don't poke their noses into political affairs, these people are given a great deal of prestige, a considerable amount of freedom, and a lot of money.
What I may call the messages of Brave New World, that it is possible to make people contented with their servitude. I think this can be done. I think it has been done in the past, but then I think it could be done even more effectively now, because you can provide them with bread and circuses, and you can provide them with endless amounts of distractions and propaganda.
And that's right, folks. Some clips from Dave Chappelle, Tupac Shakur, and Aldous Huxley on time, place, setting where we are today. And that's why it's so important. In a nutshell, Stéphane Molyneux, Canadian philosophers, talked about how these countries are used as giant tax farms. And instead of having, a couple of kings and a couple of noblemen and merchants, some soldiers, and then a huge slave population, they decided to try and brainwash us into ignoring their corruption and the people that run the system by getting us to chase fantasies and dreams that we have. And those fantasies include being a celebrity. Those fantasies include, happiness and prosperity. But everything works in stages and over time. And they knew that if they got us to choose what we want to do when it comes to work, then we wouldn't argue about it. We wouldn't bitch about it. We'd just do it. and we worked pretty hard for them. So essentially, this was a gamble by the forces behind globalization, by the New World Order. The gamble was, how do we educate them when knowledge is power, but not give them so much knowledge that they overthrow us, that they beat us, that they take the system back from oligarchical rule. And so what they're doing and what they have been doing is they've been pumping us full of trivia, pumping us full of entertainment, trying to make us soft, bread and circuses, as Aldous Huxley said, quoting the Roman poet Juvenal, talking about the Roman Empire. We know everything now. Not everything. We know enough, and we certainly know enough. We know enough to educate each other, to give each other better health choices. We know enough to do a mass silver buy in this city or anywhere else to prepare for the economic impact of the recession as they get worse. I'm looking at the gas prices out there. If you've been listening to this radio show here on CKLN Radio, then you know I've been talking about how they're going to carefully manage the increase in gas prices. Going from $1.05 to $1.10, $1.10 to now it's almost $1.15, to $1.15 to $1.20 and $1.25 and beyond. As oil has hit $100 a barrel and the prices of the pump, they're just trying to figure out how to catch them up. And we're all going to be screwed for that. So what do we do? Well, look, ultimately, you can play defense, you can get yourself a fluoride filter, you can buy some guns, you can buy some gold, you can buy some storable food, you can build your own garden. But if the whole environment in which you live starts deteriorating and collapsing, then there's no way in hell that's going to keep you safe, especially if the state, we're now interviewing, you know, political bloggers and encouraging everyone to be suspicious in the wake of that shooting of Congresswoman Giffords in Tucson, Arizona, especially if they step up efforts, you know, it'll be hard to get away with anything like that. However, if we do work to educate people in our ridings on certain issues and to get them motivated behind certain policies that they want their elected officials to pass, then that could work. So you take 22 ridings in Toronto or 44 ridings in Toronto, and you take those city councilors who are making $100,000 a year guaranteed for the next 4 years, plus perks, you say, you need to do this for us because the popular will demands it, and we'll give you support, popular support, in case people on the inside who are corrupt try and stop you, and we'll get you to make sure the guys with guns don't turn on us and, in fact, turn on anybody who's going against the will of the people in a democracy. We just have to make the system act like it's supposed to, and that's why we're so discouraged from talking about it and doing it. And if we have trouble talking about it, we can just keep passing on little pieces of paper, little DVDs, little heartfelt messages until we all get it. But I'm going to take you back to 1963 right now, because there's a speech by Martin Luther King called I Have a Dream that is worth hearing on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, January 17, 2011, 50 years later, to inspire us. What we have to do.
What will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. So we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of all the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels or the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I'm not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification,
One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Talking about on TV, he talked about the shadow banking system. The shadow banking system has trillions more in debt that they have yet to disclose that they're using as a way to extort more cash from the citizens via austerity measures so that the bankers can enjoy salaries and bonuses. Until these governments shut down these banks and start new banks with clean balance sheets and non-corrupt executives who are not terrorists, This problem will continue for years. They will always show more debts. There's another $20 trillion of bad debts to go through. Every quarter. Do we have to go through this every quarter? Or they say, oh, we just found another trillion in debt, more austerity measures, more bonuses, more salaries. When are we going to get smart and wake up and figure out that these guys all need to be fired, tried, hung, burnt, and gotten the way out? They're all freaking terrorists. What are you doing?
Can't search for water or grow your own food. Tell me what's gonna happen when them stores close. And they ain't gonna open up no more. That's the reality. Yeah, you gonna feel that. Hunger's your enemy, but you can't kill that. So wake up. Don't join the army. Kill your own people. But fear Illuminati. And they ain't even real. Or are they? But you wouldn't even know. Because you partake. Talking much. If you start to doubt, they already in your mind and coming out your mouth.
And that's right, folks. We are back. A little clip, a little trip back in time 50 years ago to Martin Luther King Jr. talking about having a dream. And what is that dream? What is our dream? Well, I bet you he wished that they had the goods on the system and a way to get out of that. I bet you he wished they had more technology to facilitate communications. Heck, I bet they wished for that back in 1776, in the American Revolution, when for 10 years the committees of correspondence wrote each other letters, posted handbills, got arrested, suffered assassinations, assassinated British officers, until things finally came to a head at the Battle of Lexington and Concord in Kentucky. And I got to tell you, folks, here in the 21st century, we are in an info war against mind control, against the massive amounts of propaganda that we take in, against the ways that we're taught to relate to each other and to people around us. It's real, real simple. The fact is, if we cannot talk about the most serious issues, or if we are discouraged from talking about anything serious, it's a heck of a lot more difficult for us to take each other seriously. And then you get to a situation where you can hang out with friends, you can talk to friends. You don't feel like talking that much because who has anything to say? To transcend this problem, because it's real, real simple. I'll check. For example, I'm on Yahoo News. I'm on Yahoo Canada here. The main story: Rachel McAdams' neckline turned heads. Crime scene investigators testify at a Mousie trial. Second day of visitation for slain officer. Hundreds brave long lines and called to pay respects to. All sorts of random stuff to forget about tomorrow. I got a call coming in though, so what the heck. KLN, you're on the air. Good morning.
Mister, last week I was talking to you and you tell me that you're a succulent person.
That I what? I'm sorry?
That you're one of those godless persons?
No, I don't say I'm godless. I just say that God gave us the tools to fight back. That's all.
Okay, mister, I just have a message for you. I just want you to know that God also is a godless person, because there is no God over God. And I try to tell you that your own image is God. So that's all. Good morning. Have a good show. You're a good man.
Thank you, sir.
I am here to save you. And someday, when the world is rid of Man Bear Pig, everyone will say, thank you, Al Gore. You're super awesome.
Man Bear Pig?
Well, on the God thing, I got to tell you, my opinions on that are this, are that God will do his thing, and if there's a devil, then those two can arm wrestle, and the rest of us can take care of business down here. It's a non-issue for me. Now, keep in mind that God has been used, and the belief in God has been used to get people to do crazy things. During the Crusades, people said, like, all right, look, God wants you to, like, walk, like, 4,000 miles to go kill, enslave, or convert those people, or some combination of that therein. And so people would walk 4,000 miles during the Crusades or sail across the seas to go, and they, you know, half of them knew it was for conquest. Some of them thought it was for God, you know, but the point is that they can convince people to do all sorts of things, including stand down, and including idol worship, which could mean worshiping ourselves. You know, the New World Order thinks they're gods. That's why they think they can get away with this. New World Order, forced mind, globalization, Anglo-American establishment, the British Empire, Chatham House, and their CFR, Council on Foreign Relations in New York, and their Canadian Council of Chief Executives here in Canada, and the Club of Rome and the United Nations, and all these organizations working towards an international system. It is easier to rule large groups of people than it is small, because in large groups, we feel small. And so even on the internet, even training our brains to think global and to think of problems in a global way and think of global solutions makes us all feel smaller and disconnects us from our local political system. So I gotta say that when it comes to God, did God give you the ability to be a better human being and to be a better human being on behalf of other human beings? Because there's things like The Secret, you know, and all these other, like, New Age propaganda type pieces out there that'll make you think you can just wish reality into existence. I saw a clip of Will Smith on some talk show, on the Travis Smiley show, and he says, you know what? So they say 2 + 2 = 4. Well, I say 2 + 2 = whatever I say it is. I can decide that. I decide that. And that's the type of crazy New Age thinking they got. And if you're Will Smith, maybe you can say that because you're rich and famous and successful. But if you're a child starving in Africa, for example, or Asia, or Canada, there is child poverty here we've never seemed to get to. Then you can't do nothing about that. You can't just wish a better reality into existence in a system run by, as Max Kaiser briefly said after the speech by Dr. Martin Luther King, international bankers who keep coming up with trillions of dollars in credit. You know, if these people are so smart and so rich, how did they let countries like Canada get $500 billion in debt, in national debt? How did they let America get $14 trillion in debt? And they're going to raise the debt ceiling to $15 trillion soon. So how did they do that? Why did they do that? Well, they did that specifically to indebt these countries, Canada, America, and the rest of the world, to them so that they could be taken over, so that they could get those debts paid back in a full and complete way with IMF-style austerity measures, which we are starting to see. And it is the decade of sustainable development right now. That is right, 2005 to 2014, United Nations Agenda for Sustainable Development. And we need to learn a bit more about what that means based on the 1977 Soviet Constitution, where they basically said, everybody use less now, so we'll have more later. And then the people at the top who pulled that scam stole everything. So that's the plan. So that was Yahoo Canada briefly. I'm going to flip quickly to the Metro here to see what our local offshoot of the Toronto Star, the Metro, the world's largest global international newspaper, little subway publication, Vengeance, Jets take down Patriots, struggle and emerge, breaking the leg gets a new meaning, Natalie Portman on the cover, looking lovely as always. An open door distortion. CRTC proposes giving TV and radio stations more leeway to broadcast false or misleading news. Just what we hear. They could have just taken this damn Metro, rolled it up, and slapped you in the face with it. The way they're selling that. Google, the Google of Canada's history, search engine combined 60 million pages. You know what? Let's write our own future. We got the history. We got tons of people out there to inspire us, and we have the information today that we know other people need to know to make better choices to improve their health, wealth, and relationships. And the slain officer honored on the inside. Sorry about the officer who did get hit by a snowplow. That was really tragic, and it is a dangerous job. So let's chill out our relationship between ourselves and our cops by explaining to them they don't have to take all this war on terror crap seriously. They can go to ae911truth.org, or you can pass on a piece of paper that says that and get it offline, because online so much stuff is remembered and forgotten. People don't trust it, but people do trust who wants it more. Do you care about your reality, or you just want to, you know, pick arguments and win fights? Are you actually like, nah, man, we got to do something about this? So I'm putting out flyers, I'm burning DVDs, I'm trying to organize locally, I'm putting up a blog or a website so I can organize my thoughts. And instead of having a conversation about something you might not know much about, I'm going to write an article so you can read it. And if I work in a profession where I don't think I want to threaten my job, no problem. I'll talk about everything but that. There's a million arguments to make against the New World Order, the forces behind globalization, and the giant eugenics program that is making us, that is dehumanizing, dumbing down, and robbing us and murdering us as we speak. And there's plenty of places you can go to figure that stuff out. Back to the metro area for a second. Winds continue to cool Ontario. Up to minus 20 to minus 25 today in Toronto and Barrie. Do you feel the global warming? No. That started in March of 2007. Let's get some context. Let's try and draw some recent history out for people. You know? And there's a million things I want to do this year. I want the city to basically sponsor me so I can go nuts in 2011 in the info war. Try and get people going. Try and put out as much info as I can possible, calmly and politely. You don't have to talk about it. I might be going to a house party on Saturday. I won't be talking about it. But if somebody asks you about something, I will just whip it out and say, check this out. I don't want to argue with you. I like you. We're not supposed to argue in our culture. We live in a conflict-averse culture. Here in Communist Canada, we have been raised not to scrap, not to disagree even. If someone likes to do something, you can't say, hey, man, I don't think you should be doing that, because then you're a prick. Instead of being like a nice person passing on helpful advice to someone you know well. That part of our brain has been culturally lobotomized, and we need to restore it. Because we're getting Rachel Adams' neckline. Social Network wins best drama at the Golden Globes. Starbucks set to debut new Trent cup size in the U.S. And we get here from Ethan Huff at Natural News, courtesy of Infowars.com. Researchers from Wageningen University in the Netherlands say that insects produce far less greenhouse gases than cattle and pigs do, and would thus be a viable alternative to eating meat. Published in the journal Plus One, the study found that pigs, for instance, produce up to 100 times more greenhouse gases than the equivalent weight of mealworms. And they want us to eat bugs now, instead of eating steak, instead of eating meat, what we've eaten for thousands of years to keep us strong and healthy. And that is absolutely insane.
Mars Ice Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious. You are watching
a master. That is right, we must be cautious. It's our lot in life. In this InfoWar fight. But there are people who've been adventurous. Like the people at WeAreChange.org and We Are Change chapters worldwide. There's over 200 of them. 200 We Are Change chapters around the world. And what they often do is they often confront politicians on key issues. That's right. What they do is they will show up with a camera and they will ask politicians questions and they will get serious answers about serious policy, like the New World Order agenda, the North American Union, health risks, and more. And they've helped expose that. So we do have the goods on these people. We just need to figure out ways to translate what people need to know and to deal with things, which you'll find out at henrymakow.com. Black Swan preaches Satanism. Another great article at vigilantcitizen.com about Satanism in the movie Black Swan. Young women defend femininity, and women defending being women, and men defending being men the way we like each other best. Can I be honest with you? I look, since I put out my fairly aggressive message last summer and during the G20 martial law, and I didn't know exactly what was going to go down, but I knew it wasn't looking good. I was like, all right, you know what? Things are crazy out here. This is crazy. So I think men got to man up and defend this place, especially guys aged 25 to 45 on behalf of women, children, the elderly. And a lot of women got that message too, and a lot of them are nice to me, and they smile at me, and I use the women of this city like a giant battery, and I'm reminded of my responsibilities, while still, of course, enjoying women for being beautiful and sweet and all that. And it's not like women can't scrap in the info war too, but they've been hit harder when it comes to propagandizing, and guys still want to fight. You know, can guys who watch fights fight? That's going to be something that we got to figure out, because it's going to be important. And you got to be able to use the things that inspire you. There's been people that sung about it. There's been religious figures, people that rapped about it. There's been authors. There's been intellectuals. There's been activists. There's tons of people. But the revolution will not be televised. We cannot cheer for things in an isolated way. We cannot cheer for things like, yay, we got that on mainstream news, or yay, those people did something. We got to find ways to work locally, to wake up people where we live, to protect our communities against their infiltration by the New World Order and New World Order ideas. There's a ton of fake activism or carefully controlled activism out there that does a decent job, but none of it will stop the bigger agenda, because none of it will touch the bigger agenda. The banking, the foundations, the secret societies, the Masons say they're supposed to make good men better. Well, you know what? Let's find out if that's true by appealing to them and saying, hey, guys, we got this New World Order problem to deal with. What do you think?
The force will be with you. Always.
There's a million things we can do out there. And I got to tell you, the only thing we have to do is not just be fans of this information or fans of each other. We got to figure out ways where we can find our voice for freedom at this time in history, and hopefully the clips today on the show helps you appreciate that. But I'm out of here, folks. The People's DJ David James is up next. Finish Slice here on Rude Awakening, January 17th, 2011. Websites I recommend include Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, Mercola.com, VigilantCitizen.com, BRAN.org for Vaccine Exemption Forum, FluorideAlert.org, and a ton of more out there, which you can find, the non-GMO shopping guide.com, another great place, and on and on and on. But start getting hip to what's going on, because they are cracking down on people who provide this information psychologically and in some cases physically. So we got to get active ASAP, figure out who shot us with toxic chemicals and so on. But the bottom line is that locally you can check out press4truth.ca, TorontoG20Exposed.com, the Toronto Street News, homeless paper out there, full of homeless guys, toonies. We'll help you get a cup of coffee and get yourself some good info. Another great place to go is TorontoTruthSeekers.com, and on and on and on and on and on. But the bottom line is, figure out how to find your voice in this. Figure out how to help improve someone's health, wealth, and relationships by getting to know them and proving how much you care about them by doing what you do for them. And that's my advice to you on this Monday morning here in TDOT. I'm out. Have a great day, everybody.
Why we pop pills, yeah. 3, the year-long forced inoculation program of police, firefighters, military, and first responders, completely collapsed. Look, these bastards won't take their own shots because they know what's in them. They know there's sterilants in those vaccines. Ladies and gentlemen, I have 4 different of the 5 different H1N1 vaccine inserts. It says may sterilize you. We posted it on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It says this shot is associated with infertility. Now, do you got that?
We give 40, 50, 60 vaccines by the time a child enters college. They're just being vaccinated to death.
The vaccine manufacturers know that the vaccine doesn't work. They know that. They absolutely know. It's never worked.